Hi, Weird Family. It's Demora Minkus here with another Morbid Tale.
I'm Krista.
And I'm Jamie. And we're back. So we've been gone so long trying to figure out the best way to produce this podcast and give you the best quality sound. We're still figuring it out, but this podcast should actually sound better and not like we're in a tunnel. Well, with that, guys, let's get into our Morbid Tale of the Happy Face Killer.
Keith Jefferson was born in Canada, but he and his family moved to Washington when he was still young. We're going to start this podcast with his childhood because it may have contributed to the violent adult he became. He was the middle child with two brothers and two sisters. His father was a violent alcoholic and his grandfather was also abusive. When Jefferson got in trouble at school or behaved badly at home, he would be punished by his father. His father would beat him, sometimes in front of others. And in one instance, Jefferson received electric shock from his father.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Terrible.
So Jefferson was a large child, always towering over his classmates. Because of this, he was made fun of in school, with kids calling him Huey the Duck. That wasn't the only nickname. His brothers called him Igor, or IG, and it stuck with him throughout his childhood.
And Jefferson started... I keep saying Jefferson. Jefferson. It's so close together. Jefferson started torturing animals at a very young age. He was only 5 years old. He liked watching the animals kill each other as well as killing them himself. He liked the latter a lot more because he enjoyed the feeling he got from taking the animals' lives. He would capture birds, dogs, and cats, and he found an area where he lived where he could severely beat them and strangle them to death, something for which he claims his father was proud of. So he continued this behavior throughout his childhood and even into adulthood.
It even seems the only praise or positive attitude he received from his father when he was cruel to animals, which may have been the reason why he continues to do so. Also, there's been multiple studies linking childhood animal abuse to aggressive crimes as adults. Robert K. Ressler of the FBI, who's developed profiles of serial killers, stated murders often start out by killing and torturing animals as kids. Also, a survey of psychiatric patients who had repeatedly tortured cats and dogs found that all of them had high levels of aggression toward people as well. In another study conducted by the police in Australia, revealed that 100% of sexual homicide offenders examined had a history of animal cruelty.
So it's pretty, safe to say that if you're going to torture animals when you're young, you're going to be pretty violent when you get older.
Yes.
And, of course, this is 100% the case with Jefferson, as his animal cruelty turned into a desire to harm people, and he couldn't contain this desire for long. At the age of 10, he attempted his first murder. He befriended a boy named Martin, and the two would often get in trouble together. Jefferson often got in trouble for what he claims Martin did, and he was punished by his father. Jefferson blamed Martin for his beating, so he decided to attack Martin until his father pulled him away. He confessed that his intention was to kill the boy.
Wow. So that wasn't his only attempt at murder when he was a child. 1 year later, when he was 11, Jefferson decided to get revenge on a boy that previously held him underwater in a lake until he blacked out. Jefferson attempted to drown the same boy by holding his head underwater in a public pool until the lifeguard pulled him away. So that was his last attempt at murder as a child.
You know what's a shame is his father probably just beat him for these instances instead of actually getting him real help.
Yes.
Because who knows what would have happened if he actually got the help he needed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm sorry. Keith Jefferson, with his propensity of childhood animal abuse, the physical and psychological abuse he endured, and the bullying he was exposed to, made him become the prolific serial killer that he was.
In 1975, when he was 20, married Rose Huck and had three children, Jefferson began his work as a truck driver to support the family. The marriage lasted 14 years, coming to an end when Rose became suspicious of her husband having affairs because strange women began calling the house looking for him. She packed up her bags and her children and left.
Good for her.
The couple divorced a year later in 1990 and also began the same year of his first murder.
See, I know we talk about this a lot in our podcast, but trust your instincts, ladies,
yes.
Because luckily she did. And as we previously stated, Jefferson was a large child who grew into a large man. He was 6'7.5" tall and weighed almost 240 pounds, which allowed him to easily overpower his victims. His first victim was Tawana Bennett, who had developmental disabilities. She was from Portland, Oregon. And on January 23, 1990, Jefferson met Bennett at a bar and invited her over to his house. He invited her over on the pretense of sex, but when she refused, he began to beat her. Jefferson became worried that she would report this to the police, so he shoved his fist in her mouth and killed her. Because it caused her not to be able to breathe. He was back out on the road the next day. Rose's body was found a few days later, but there were 3 suspects and 666 leads, so he pretty much got away with it.
Yeah. So he gets away with that murder because the woman, Laverne Palinak, lied and told cops that she helped her boyfriend, John Sovanska.
Sanofsky.
Yes. In killing Bennett. She made that lie because she wanted to escape her abusive boyfriend. She later I can't talk today.
I know. I get it.
Rescinded her confession. But a jury still found her guilty in 1991, and John pleaded guilty to the crime to avoid the death penalty.
So, she basically did this again to escape her abusive boyfriend. It sounds like a lot of crappy people in this story. But Jefferson found out about this and was upset because he wanted credit for this crime. He decided to confess, but still remain anonymous. He wrote on a bus stop terminal bathroom wall that he killed Bennett, providing details only the real killer would know. And he signed it with a smiley face. This signature, he continued to use the signature and continued to murder women. He would write details of his murders on the bathroom wall, signing it with a smiley face. He also wrote an anonymous letter to the to the newspaper of Oregon.
It's one of those days.
Confessing to his multiple murders, signing with the same signature smiley face. This prompted his name, the Happy Face Killer.
So after the murder of Ben, it wasn't until 2.5 years later did Jefferson kill again. No one knows why there was such a break in between for his first killing and the second. But maybe it was because he was afraid of police attention and getting caught. But on August 30th, 1992, in Blile, California, he raped and strangled a woman. This woman's body was found, but she remained a Jane Doe, even though Jefferson said her name was Claudia. This time, he did not wait 2.5 years before murdering. It only took a month for the next murder in Turlock, California. Are we in California or Canada? California.
I know. He lived in Canada. He moved to Washington and became a truck driver. So he's up and down.
Yes.
He was everywhere, actually. So these murders are everywhere.
Because I'm just thinking Canada all over my brain. When the body of Cynthia Lynn Rose was discovered, Jefferson said she was a sex worker who entered his truck while he slept at a truck stop. And she attempted to double the agreement upon fee for sex, which he refused to pay. She threatened to call the cops. This made Jefferson angry, and he strangled her to death.
Which is kind of crazy to me, because you call the cops for doing an illegal act. I don't understand. Like, to me, it seemed like an empty threat, right? So he probably didn't need to do anything. Probably just kicked her out and kept it moving.
Yeah.
But he's a murderer. 6 months later, in June of 1993, another woman's body was discovered in Santanella, California. Jefferson says her name was either Carla or Cindy, but again, she's another Jane Doe. At first, the police thought her death was due to a drug overdose, but Jefferson admitted to murdering her after his arrest. Another woman's body was found in September of 1994 in Crestview, Florida. She was another street worker and another Jane Doe, one that Jefferson claimed her name was Susan.
Jefferson continued his truck route and killing spree until March 30, 1995, when he was arrested. He was arrested for the murder of Julie Winningham. The police arrested Jefferson a week after they questioned him about this murder, but did not have enough evidence to arrest him at the time. After this questioning, he knew his arrest was inevitable. He tried to commit suicide, but after two failed attempts, he decided his best option would be to turn himself in. He thought if he did this, he would get more lenient sentencing.
It's crazy that he could kill all these people, but he couldn't even kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, luckily it backfired on him because he began talking. He began revealing details of the killings and made claims of many others. Though he recanted many of these confessions later on, the police also got a hold of a letter that Jefferson wrote his brother before his arrest. In this letter, Jefferson confessed to having killed 8 women over the 5 years he was a truck driver. This letter prompted the police in several states to reopen cold cases that could be possible victims of Jefferson.
So these 8 women of California, Florida, Nebraska, Oregon, Washington, and Wyoming were the only ones linked to Jefferson, even though at one time he claimed to have murdered as many as 185 women.
Wow.
He is now serving 3 consecutive life sentences at the Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem. In September 2009, he was indicted for murder in Riverside County, California, and was extradited to California to face the charges in December. Jefferson was convicted of this murder and received a 4th life sentence in January 2010.
So he's just going to be serving the rest of his life in jail.
Yes.
And what a horrible, terrible human being, because he targeted sex workers, right?
Yes.
A lot of them are Jane Does, so who knows? Mm-hmm. Like you said, he claimed to have killed 185.
Yeah.
So who knows how many he really did murder. I watched a documentary on him they had on Discovery Plus, and they did a lot of his, like, interviewing him, and the way he would talk, it was just like a normal day for him just to go out and kill somebody. Like, they didn't matter to him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care.
It's like, go and get milk.
Yeah, like, he was justified. He felt justified mm-hmm. for taking these women's lives.
And he had a family. Could you imagine finding out your father was a serial killer?
Oh, no.
His one daughter, Melissa G. Moore, published a book titled Shattered Silence, The Untold Story of a Serial Killer's Daughter. I haven't read it, but it would be an interesting read.
Yeah, yes, it really would. I really think it's fascinating to read about the psychology and learn about the lives of these people with psychopathy.
Yes.
But, I mean, again, if you guys want to learn more about this man and those unfortunate enough to come across him, besides the book and the documentary, there's an episode on the Lifetime series Monster in My Family. It's titled The Happy Face Killer, Keith Hunter Jefferson. And that's something else that you could probably watch. I'm sure they have a lot of interesting stories on there as well.
Well, we want to thank you for tuning into our Morbid Tale. We know it's been a while.
We're back. A long time. We're trying, guys. We're trying.
But don't forget to like, review, subscribe. Also, check out our YouTube channel to learn how to make a craft. Our most current craft is one for back to school on a chalkboard.
And it's really cool. And it's super easy. Please check it out.
Yes.
And like and set on your notifications.
Mm-hmm. But until next time, be relentless.
Be unstoppable.
Be the weird.
Bye, guys.
Bye.